John chapter 14 this morning. I don't know if anybody noticed eggshells in the ramp out there, but we got Halloween early, I guess, this year. Right. And they nailed the van pretty good, but I got the van cleaned off last night about midnight. It's cold out there. Oh, well. John chapter 14, this is number 24 in the series of what's in the Gospels for us. There's nothing in there to us, but there's an awful lot of material in there for us. I hope people understand what that means by now. I know they don't. Just like picking up your mail, picking up everybody's mail, you just take the mail that's written, addressed to you. The Gospels are addressed to the Jews. It's there for us as the whole counsel of God, Genesis to Revelation. So John chapter 14 is just full of stuff. In fact, I'm going to have to divide it up this morning and then to the AM service. Then I got something for tonight that ought to really be challenging. So we'll start right away with John chapter 14, verse 1. Do you have your phone if they have to call? Okay. Starts off real easily. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Just a reminder that to believe also in him was the fact that they had to believe that he was the Messiah. They had to believe that he was the Son of God, he was the Savior of the world. I'll just give you some quick verses here. Now I tell you before it come, that when it come to pass, you may believe that I am he. That's what they had to believe in the Gospels. This is what they had to believe, that he was the Son of God. Here's one. I knew that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. So Jesus had to believe that he was from God. He was God. He was the Messiah. That's what it means all through the Gospels when it talks about believe. I said therefore unto you that you shall die in your sins, for if you believe not that I am he, you shall believe in your sins. There it is. And I'll give you the notes. You can look up these references if you still want. People just have to realize that what Paul teaches about believing and trusting in Christ is not what Jesus is talking about in the Gospels. He is talking about believing that he is he. He is the Son of God. He is the Messiah. I'll say it again. Here's one. And said unto the woman, John chapter 4, now we believe, not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves, and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. And here's one, this is John the Baptist. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. That's what they had to believe in the Gospels. Period. There's no faith, no trust. They just had to believe that he was the Son of God. Now their faith was in the fact that he was the Son of God. But as far as receiving his faith, like we receive in the today's time, we receive the faith of Jesus. They did not get the faith of Jesus. They had to have their faith, but what kind of faith is there when he's there? Their faith was the fact that he was the Son of God. He was he. He was from God. He was God. He was the Messiah. That's what they had to believe. So when he says, let not your heart be troubled, you believe in God, believe also in me, that he's of God. Now we can say that verse for us, say, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, which we do. Believe also in me, which we do. Through our faith of Jesus Christ and our trust, those things that Paul talks about. So yeah, we could take that verse and spiritually apply it, but it confuses people because it takes people to the Gospels and gets them to believe that the Gospels are written to them, and that's not written to us. Yes, our hearts should not be troubled, and it makes a good sermon, but we're going to the wrong references. It's false gospel, actually. Teaching where it comes from. It confuses people today, which has been the goal of the devil from the beginning, is to get those scriptures out of people's lives. If he can't get rid of the Bible, he'll confuse them. And he'll get people reading the Gospels, thinking that that's written to them, when we can show without a doubt that that's not written to us. This is a quick one for you. Look at verse 2. We've got a whole sermon on this thing. What is this mansion? In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Now, we won't get into this thing, but I think it gets pretty good when he talks about the fact that we are that mansion. Why would we have a house up there? Why would we have buildings? When you start looking at what the eternity will be like, who needs a mansion? Who needs a building? And you go through that whole thing. And I think there's a good verse in Philippians that says, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. So he's building us. He's showing us some things. He's our foundation, but Jesus Christ, but Paul is our master builder, the wise master builder, he says in 1 Corinthians. So what, doesn't it make sense that Jesus would be using Paul's teachings, which are teachings from the risen Christ, to teach Paul, to teach us, to do the proper building of us, so when the time comes, we are what he said he's been building. I mean, that makes so much sense. But whatever. And we're going fast this morning, because I got 8 pages on this chapter 14. I want to try to get them both in this morning. And yet I really want to talk about tonight, but it's one of those things. You know, I get that way. Okay, verse 4. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? So before we go into the great verse 6, let's look back at verse 4. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Do we know where he went? Do we know where, whither? Whither is to a specified place or position or place. Does anybody know where Jesus Christ went? I mean, he died and rose again. So where did he go? John, look down to verse 28. It fits. Look down to verse 28. Ye have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If ye loved me, ye would rejoice, because I said, I go unto the Father. For my Father is greater than I. But that still doesn't narrow it down like it does in Ephesians. And by the way, who wrote Ephesians? Paul is the writer of Ephesians. Paul says, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places. I got a string of verses here. You can get them from on the website if you want to look at the study here. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. There's a bunch of verses, even in Psalms. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. That's Psalm 16:11. And it's interesting, it says there, at thy right hand are pleasures forevermore. And I'm hearing more and more that Christians don't have the joy or even the pleasures of being a Paul following, a risen Christ following Christian. It's like we have no pleasures anymore. We're frustrated. We're irritated. It doesn't seem to fit anywhere. Well, we're not supposed to fit into this world. I think that's part of our complaint, is we are not fitting into the world like we used to be able to. So that's probably, that's another sermon probably tonight even. In fact, I don't have any pencil here. It says in Psalm 17, O thou that savest by thy right hand, them which put their trust in thee. That's Jesus Christ on God's right hand. It says here, O thou that... I said that one. And thy right hand hath holden me up. He says here, thy right hand shall find out those that hate thee. That's Jesus Christ. You study Jesus Christ and you trust in Jesus Christ and learn Paul's way as the risen Christ, we find out who hates God and who hates the truth. We find that out. It says here in Psalm 48, thy right hand is full of righteousness. And he's God's righteousness. Thou hast a mighty arm, strong is thy hand, and high is thy right hand. The right hand of the Lord is exalted. So, it's just an amazing study, which we did a while ago. The right hand of God is Jesus Christ. And so when he says, and whither I go ye know, and the way ye know, and Thomas says, I don't know where you're going. Now how can we get there? So he says in verse 6, back to John 14, verse 6. You get all that? I mean, he's at his right hand. And Psalms, an Old Testament book to the Jews, even tells about his right hand. It's just marvelous stuff. So his right hand shows up to the Jews, and the Jews reject it. That's Jesus Christ. So then Paul talks about his right hand, and that's Jesus Christ. We are seated with him in heavenly places. We're seated with him in the right hand of God. I have no idea how that can be, but that's one of the mysteries that Paul talks about. We're supposed to be good stewards of those mysteries. We don't have the answers, but we're still supposed to preach them. Interesting stuff. Here we go. Do I need to slow down? How are we doing here? Boy, I don't know if we can even get all done this morning. Okay, verse 6. Here we go. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Okay? That's not written to us. That's written to the Jews. So do we throw that verse out? No, not at all. Because he is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. But we have to make sure that the way that we follow is the way of the risen Christ. That's through Paul, not the Jesus of the other Gospels, because he hadn't risen yet. And if we're going to follow Jesus according to the Gospels, we're following an earthy Jesus teaching things to the Jews. We need to follow Jesus as the way, but what is the way? The risen Christ way. What does Paul say? Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, who's me? Paul. Do, and the God of peace shall be with you. He says, Paul says, yet show I unto you a more excellent what? Way. So it's still, Jesus is still the way, but it's the risen Christ. And it's not even the risen Jesus, it's the risen Christ. Jesus Christ, the Lord. Remember the study we did one time? Paul calls him the Christ, the Lord, Jesus Christ, almost all the time. And in the Gospels, he's always called Jesus. Jesus. There's a couple of mentions of the Christ, but he talks about him as Jesus. There's a difference there. There's a difference there. Then it says in there, also in that same verse, but by me. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And we saw last week that John 6:44, no man can come unto me except the Father which hath sent me draw him. Then we see in John 12, and I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. We see a difference there. During the time when Jesus is on this earth, the Father is going to draw people to Jesus. And there, as we can tell, there were those that couldn't believe. Remember that last week? They didn't believe because they couldn't believe. John chapter 12. So it's a strange thing. It's seeds of Calvinism is what it is in the gospel days. Why was it when Peter said to Jesus, you're the Son of God? And Jesus says, you know, Peter, you couldn't have said that if it wasn't for God, the Father. And by the way, don't go tell anybody else. Matthew 5 or 15. I always forget that thing. And why would Jesus tell Peter not to tell anybody else that he's the Son of God? That he's the Son of God? Because the Father had to do it. God had to tell these people that. So he told Peter, listen, don't go tell anybody this. My Father will tell them that. Just like you. You wouldn't have said that if it wasn't for the Father telling you what that truth is. So now when Jesus Christ dies on the cross, now he says, I will draw all men unto me. I, Jesus, will draw all men unto me. So what do we have after that? Well, then we got the Holy Spirit. Because remember, at the end of John chapter 14, he sends a comforter to everybody. Because up until that time, they didn't have the Holy Ghost. So Jesus drew. Now who's drawing people to Jesus? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Ghost. Then what do we have? We have Paul's teachings. Paul's teachings, who met face to face with Jesus Christ at least four times in the Scriptures, is going to draw people to Christ through the Holy Spirit, through Paul. And it's still God. Now what do we have today? King James Bible. That which is perfect is come. That the Scriptures in that Bible, with the Spirit of God, as the power of God behind that thing, going through the Scriptures of Paul, talking about the risen Christ, that's where the draw comes from. And why are people not being drawn to Christ today, the true Christ today, is because they're not being drawn by the Scriptures. They're being drawn by modern churches preaching the Gospels. That was pretty quick. Does that make sense? That makes sense? This is the stuff you got to tell people. That Bible comes alive if they realize how to read that thing properly. It's not a hard book to read. You don't need a new Bible to make something understand. This Bible, our little kids right there can understand this Bible better than most adults, because it's got more one-syllable and two-syllable words than any other modern Bible. And all they don't do is rightly divide that thing. That's all they have to do. So when he sees right there, I am the way and the truth, yes, he is the way and the truth. But it must be the teachings of the risen Christ. And that's through Paul. I got some verses on there to show Holy Ghost. It says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Then we've got Paul's time. He says, and the God of peace shall be with you, if you follow what Paul's teachings are. Then you've got the King James Bible, that which is perfect has come, and that which is in part shall be done away. But we have something we have to remember here. Acts chapter 20 says this, also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples. We've got people today in our churches that will draw people out of the church. They will draw people away. If we have any kind of doubts or questions or unhappiness, or we can't endure sound doctrine, which I'll talk about tonight, if we can't do that, somebody within that church family will draw people away. Somebody in the body of Christ out there can draw people away from the King James Bible, from the truth of preaching Paul. It can happen. And that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. So the devil he can pick who he wants to draw. He can pick who goes into his snare. You could fight that thing, but the King James Bible know what's right and kind of follow Paul, etc. But the devil has that kind of freedom. How can he do that? He can't get our soul. Nobody can get our flesh. He can draw us away by our flesh. Simple as that. Then you got in Romans where it says, Paul says, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I serve the law of God. But with the flesh, the law of sin. So the devil can still snag us by our flesh. Can't get our soul. We've been circumcised away from our flesh. But he can still get our flesh. So can a Christian be possessed by the devil? Flesh only. Which is bad enough. But he can't get our soul. Marvelous stuff here. This is, I'm just going forward this whole entire day today. I'm going to go way too fast. I suggest you get the notes and look at them later. Okay, verse 7. Now we come across, which is probably the biggest issue in all of our modern Bible versions, and that's the deity of Christ. And it pops up again. It's been popping up all through John here. If he had known me, he should have known my Father also. And from henceforth ye know him and have seen him. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, Show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me. He doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. That's pretty strong deity there. And there's some other verses here. In John 13, Jesus knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he was come from God and went to God. John 10 is the big one. I and my Father are one. That's deity. Modern Bibles change the deity of Christ. He's just another teacher, another prophet, another Jesus, according to what Paul preaches. Here's one in John 5. Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. That's deity. The modern Bibles don't teach that at all. That's probably the biggest thing to take out of all the Bible verses, is the stuff about his deity. So, why is that? Because that's what they had to believe in the Gospels, was that he was of God. That's what they had to believe on Christ, on Jesus. So we have people today reading modern Bibles, realizing or being taught that Jesus was not God. Jesus was not God manifest in the flesh. That verse should be in there too. That Jesus was not God manifest in the flesh. And they teach everybody to follow Jesus' teachings in the Gospels. It's a huge deception. It's destroyed the truth of Christianity. Okay. Now we got a big one, verse 12. Got a whole sermon just on verse 12 here. Verse 12. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, now what is that again? That he was a... What? What? Yeah, if I could, you'd break your hand on it. Leave it to the girls, it'll be better sports than us guys. Can't even throw here. But then she's been mistaught too, so well. Now why do I want a pin? Where's the verse I want to get in there? There, I got to have my pen because I never get anything. There we go, verse 12. He that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. Remember in the other verses in John, I think it's in John 10 or 11, where his testimony was not believed. Remember that? There's four witnesses. One was him. He didn't count himself as a witness because they wouldn't believe his witness. There was God, the works of God, the works that he did, and then the script. John the Baptist and the works that he did. You've got to do that again. You've got God the Father, the works that God had Jesus do, John the Baptist, and then the Scriptures. Those are the four witnesses. They would not believe Jesus Christ. Well, what's he say? Man has no honor. Prophet has no honor in his own country. Jesus' own family, his brothers and sisters, did not believe that he was the Messiah. That's why I say it doesn't surprise us today that people in your own circle, your own children, your own family, your father, your mom, your husband sometimes, your wife, won't believe you because they know you. How can you be what Paul says that you are? Well, they don't believe that. So he says, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. So there's that phrase, the works that I do, shall he do also. So is that what we're supposed to do? Are we supposed to learn the teachings of Jesus and then do them again, do them ourselves? You see, Jesus didn't sin. We all know that. Everybody knows that. That believes that he was the Messiah as such. So if we do everything that he does, that he did, well then we won't sin either. And that's the teaching of Christianity. To stop sinning. Well, we should stop doing those things. No doubt, that's not the point here this morning. This gets people so confused. But Jesus Christ took care of sin, period. Right? But yeah, but Jesus does say in the Gospels, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. So we're told, they are told to follow Jesus in the Gospel days. Well, yes, of course. There he was, walking the way he should. And if you want to follow me, you know, I'll be your Messiah. I mean, I'm here. But you need to deny yourself and you take up the cross, take up his cross, and follow me. And it's all through the Gospels. When Jesus knew it, he withdrew himself from thence, and great multitudes followed him, and he healed them all. So you go into the Gospels, and you see where Jesus says to follow him. Is that to us today? Well, if we follow Jesus' teachings, then we won't sin. If we do sin a few times, we confess based on 1 John 1:9, and we can confess, and we get cleaned up again, and we can still follow him. Okay, but if we're not following him, are we lost? Well, we can't get lost, so how can we quit? There's confusion in there when you put that stuff together. You read the Gospels, and you read Paul, and you read 1 John. I don't know. I guess I'll just tell my pastor to do it because he's been to school. And they come out, they're officially mixed up. Here's the concern. If we're going to follow somebody in their footsteps and just do what they do, just like he says, the works that I do, shall he do also? Then you're imitating. Well, why would you say imitating? Because see, all the modern Bibles tell us to imitate Jesus. 1 Corinthians, so I urge you to imitate me. That's Paul. And you should imitate me, just as I imitate Christ. Ephesians, imitate God. Imitate God and everything you do, because you're his dear children. And then there's more verses. So the modern Bibles don't tell people to follow Jesus, they tell them to imitate Jesus. What's the problem with that? Well, because in Isaiah chapter 14, what does the devil want to do? He wants to be like the Most High. You know what that is? That's imitating. The devil's imitating God. The devil's going to imitate Jesus Christ as the Antichrist. He's going to imitate churches. He's imitating pastors. What's it called? Ministers of righteousness. I had a guy tell me the other day, one of our good guys, I thought, and he said, well, the pastor that I like to listen to, he doesn't preach right and dividing. Boy, does he preach good righteousness. All I could think of was, it's an old-fashioned guy from the South. Everybody still thinks the Civil War is going on down there. Don't know where you're from. I hope it isn't from the South. But you are from Wyoming. That's not the Civil War. That's what I'm thinking of, somebody else in Georgia. So they take all these people that preach old-fashioned American righteousness. And I said, but the devil's preachers are ministers of righteousness. They're not going to go out there and preach Satan-following kind of stuff. They're going to go out there and preach righteousness, their righteousness, not the righteousness of God. So when we see that the devil wants to be like the Most High, he's going to have his people preaching the good stuff, and yet it's wrong. It's not rightly dividing, for one thing. Are we supposed to imitate Christ? Can we imitate Christ? Then you picture that picture. Here's Jesus walking on the beach. Remember that picture? And here's these footsteps. All of a sudden, the footsteps are the same. And, oh, he left me. No, I carried you during this whole thing. You did what I did, follow my footsteps. We can't. That's baloney. That is a modern baloney picture. That's not true at all. See, the whole thing is one set of footprints, ours, and he's with us. But we're not imitating him at all. We are never told to imitate him. We're never told to imitate Paul. We're never told to imitate God. We're never told to imitate the apostles. And that's exactly what all the new Bibles teach. So what are we supposed to, how do we follow Christ? Very simple. We follow the risen Christ. That's exactly what we're supposed to be doing. Paul honestly says, according to the King James, be followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Well, there it is. Paul's following Christ. Right. Not the gospel Christ, because there's no Christ in the gospel. That's Jesus. He's following Christ, which is the risen Jesus. He meets him in... I'm just winging now. Paul meets face to face with Jesus in Galatians chapter 1, Ephesians chapter 3. I think it's in Corinthians. He talks about being up there with him. And there's another one in Acts 26 when he's talking to Agrippa, when Jesus says, "Listen, I'm going to appear unto you, and you're going to teach these things." So that's what we're doing when we follow Christ. We're supposed to follow Christ. Can we even imitate the risen Christ? We can't even imitate the risen Christ. And when they say to imitate Paul as he imitates Christ, Paul didn't try to imitate Christ. He followed the risen Christ, and that's what Romans 2 Philemon is all about. Don't you just get kind of, how come they don't get this? I mean, it's just simple as that. And we're not the only church that teaches that, by the way. Okay, anyway. Verse 13, let's keep going. Verse 13, the notes are online for those who want a really big study it up. Here's another one. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. In Jesus' name, give me da-da-da-da. In Jesus' name, in the name of Jesus, that kind of a thing. And listen, a couple of years ago, that was really hard for us to quit. You don't have to quit, I guess, but don't think it's what it's going to do. In Jesus' name, amen. And then we go to family reunions and family picnics, or we hear somebody on TV, and they pray, and they pray, and they pray. Then they just say, amen. And we used to kind of think, whoa, he didn't say in Jesus' name. He didn't get any prayer through. But then you get a priest that comes along, or some guy that's not even a Christian at all, and they throw in Jesus' name. Does that mean it worked? That's what it has to mean according to Gospels. Does that make sense? We've been over that before. We're seeing the folly today. I like the guys that go, in the name of Jesus. And then all these miracles happen. Well, what about all that? Well, get into Revelation 13, Revelation 16, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Those miracles and signs and wonders are done by the devil. I mean, I'm giving you a plateful to talk about when you get home. Marvelous stuff. That's only because you believe the King James Bible to be the Word of God. Now, here's a verse that shuts it all down, Colossians 3:17. They never saw this verse. It must have not been in my Bible till late last night. Talk about inspiration and revelation of Bible. He keeps putting verses in this thing that weren't there last week. Look at Colossians 3:17, as far as in his name. People that think you have to say in his name. And some people still feel weird when you don't say in Jesus' name when you pray. You just come up with an amen. Not once does Paul ever say in Jesus' name. But anyway, here's what it says right here, Colossians 3:17. Marvelous verse for this stuff. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Okay? So if you're going to think that adding on the end of your prayer, or at the beginning of a prayer to make sure that he was going to pay attention, in the name of Jesus, then you have to do that. You have to say that for everything. You do. In the name of Jesus, give me a safe trip home. In the name of Jesus, help me buy the right stuff. In the name of Jesus, I got a headache. You may have said that before. In the name of Jesus, help me do this. In the name of Jesus, everything has to be done in the name, has to be said in the name of Jesus. He never says to say in the name of Jesus. Ask in my name, and I will do. You shall ask anything in my name. It doesn't say his name. But apparently during the Gospels, they still had to do that. But not today. We're supposed to do everything in his name. What's the answer to that? We're in his name. We studied this sermon that long time ago. We're already in his name. In other words, you have to be a Christian to have your prayers get through to God. It's very simple. That doesn't mean he's going to answer them. The common response to that is, well, then you're not praying in God's will. Well, what's the answer to that? Romans chapter 8. Holy Spirit prays for us better than we know. So what's the point of praying? Because Paul tells us to. Without ceasing. Get up in the morning, in the name of Jesus, here goes the rest of my day. Never say amen until you lay down in bed at night. Well, amen. And then, don't you pray when you're just kind of laying there dozing a little bit, like kind of stuff? Let's keep going. I'm filling this plate up this morning. Verse 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. Okay, is that true? Is that true? Look at verse, we'll skip down to verse 21. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. What about that? There it is. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them. If you don't do what Jesus teaches, then you don't love him. And he doesn't love you. And he won't manifest himself to you, according to what this says. Is that possible? Well, if we went to Matthew 28, if we went to Mark 16, we would see that the teachings, the commandments that Jesus taught were supposed to be done. And the Jews were supposed to take that out to the world, to the Gentiles as well, and teach them those things. Yes, they were to keep his commandments. Are we talking about the 10 big ones? Are we talking about all the ones in Leviticus? Colossians 2.16 tells us those are no longer applied. So what's he talking about here? He's preparing people for the what? At this time, he's about ready to leave. What's coming after he leaves? What do we call it? We call it the Great Commission. This is where he tells his apostles to go out there, and he gives them the power for signs and wonders and miracles and healings and the whole thing. And they're supposed to go out there, and they do. That's what Acts chapter 1 through 8 is all about. And the apostles are clobbered for doing it. But that's okay. That's what's going to take place. So yes, that's what they taught. They needed to do that. If they would do that, they would have the love of Christ. If they would not do that, they would not have that. So when the Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, God loves the whole world? No. How's that going? God's... Can't even do it now. It's just a flash here. For God so loved the world. Love, he offered his Son. Love, past tense. He loved the world. He gave us the only begotten Son. Now, if you don't accept that Son as your Savior through trust and faith, you don't have God's love. And Paul uses the word toward a couple of times. His love is offered towards the world, but if they don't take his Son, they don't have God's love. So no, God does not love everybody. God cannot love everybody. He cannot love them without his Son. And it says in Romans chapter 8 that you can't please God unless you have Jesus Christ as your Savior. So all the things that people are doing that are good things, marvelous philanthropists and giving money and all this kind of stuff, if they don't have Jesus Christ as their Savior, it's full of sin. They will die in their sins. Their list of good things is still polluted by the dirt that's attached to them. Jesus Christ, when you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, he takes care of all the dirt, all the sins, the whole spiel. Now you can start pleasing God, and the things that you do that don't please God are not imputed. Anyway, so they're going to burn in the judgment seat. I tell you, this stuff is just... I know you keep hearing it's almost the same thing over and over. We've got a couple more verses for you today. So what's this about keeping commandments? They were supposed to. They were supposed to. I'll go back to verse 16. Now he talks about this comforter. And I will pray the Father, he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. For the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you, shall be in you. At the time dwelleth with them, but soon shall be in them. I will not leave you comfortless, I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But ye see me, because I live. Ye shall live also. So what we got going on here? He's going to leave, but he's going to find us in the Comforter. Why is that? John chapter 7 says this, he that believeth on me, as the Scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water, which they had to believe that he was the Messiah. Parentheses. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not glorified. They did not have the Holy Ghost in them yet. So what are we doing teaching people, all the churches in America, to follow the Great Commission and to follow Jesus' teachings when he hasn't even, in that section of the Bible, hasn't even given the Holy Spirit at all? The Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit. So now comes the time that he's going to give the Comforter. Verse 20. a little shot at deity here again. At that day, when he goes, and the Comforter comes, at that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. But it wasn't that way yet. So Jesus' teachings to the Jews didn't even teach that Jesus Christ was in them, because Jesus Christ hadn't been glorified yet. He was still Jesus. Son of man, Son of God, and Son of man. Verse 22, here's a real good question. Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, make sure it wasn't the right Judas here, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? Good question. How are we going to know this is you and the rest of the world won't? Well, Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words. And my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings. And the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. So he's still with them, and he's telling them, listen, you need to obey my sayings. Well, we do. We still do today. We're trying, and you'll put it that way. But the sayings we're trying to follow are the sayings that he said as the risen Christ to Paul. What he's talking about here are the sayings that he taught to the Jews that the apostles are going to go out and teach. That's what we call the Great Commission. And they did. And they were killed for it. And Stephen comes along, gives them the final bash of a sermon, and they stone him to death. And Christ says, oh, I'm going to go to Paul, the one that hates the Christians the most. I'm going to choose him. And there it is. All that was given to the Gentiles, of which we are from, Gentiles. We ought not be studying, we ought not be trying to follow Jesus' teachings based on what he's talking about here. We're following Jesus' teachings, we're going to try to follow Jesus' teachings through Paul. Okay. Verse 26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Okay? Now, here's a question. Now, I asked this question 2 days ago on somebody that's been here before in the past, and I'm trying to get them to answer this question. If you didn't have a King James Bible today, would the Comforter be able to teach you all things and bring all things to remembrance, and would you get all that understanding that Paul talks about in Corinthians? Would you be able to have that without a King James Bible? And it's been 2 days now. He's written me about 15 questions back, and he will not answer that question. So what's the question? And what's the answer to that thing? No. Because after Jesus Christ comes the Comforter, after the Comforter comes Paul, after Paul comes the King James Bible, that which is perfect has come. Up until that time, Christ did give that kind of understanding. Holy Spirit did give those kind of things, because they didn't have a Bible. But he only gave it to them in what? In part. He only gave them what they could handle, what they needed to know at the time. What do we have here? Everything. And we can hardly handle parts that's in this thing. So, when we read there, the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things. Today he does it right through this thing. And I know you can't believe what a guy says, but I know for a fact, in my own experiences, right, in sermons, that's how it works. I cannot come up with a sermon other than my own, sitting around just yakking and writing up a sermon based on what I think things ought to be. The sermon I'm going to do tonight is so scriptural, but it's almost like my last one, as far as practicality goes. So as I could do. It's an old thing. You get old, your skin itches more and more. I mean, the Holy Spirit will teach us these things from that Bible. And so this guy would never answer that question. Still to this day has not answered that question. I just write back, just answer this one. Would you have an understanding that the Holy Spirit that God wants us to have if you did not have a King James Bible, and you would not? And people with modern Bibles don't put their authority into their Bible, so they think that God will give them an understanding. Well, God just told me in my heart. I just know. I just know this. You know, I can just tell. In Jesus' name, I know this. I know this. This is the way it's going to be. And boy, I'll tell you, you got to read about the devil, and that is exactly how he works today, through your feelings, through your heart, through your mind without a Bible, and give them, if they want to be a Christian with a Bible, then give them a modern Bible that takes out the deity, changes the verses, changes the teachings, doesn't even tell you right to divide the Word of God, takes out the blood of Christ. I mean, all these things. And people are happy with that because their ears are itching for something that Paul won't teach them, which is what we're talking about tonight. The sermon tonight, very few ears are itching for this one tonight. There are a few. We got enough. Let's stop right here. Take a break.